The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man and saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was a terrible time for Israelites, as much as it was for those victims who were the victims of the genocide in the Balkans, in Auschwitz, Germany, or in Rwanda. It was a terrible time for the victims of the apartheid in South Africa. And all this had something to do with their subhuman category that they belonged to. So unfortunately, that is the way of the kingdoms of this world. Suffering is and will be part of our lives or our legacy. And so we quickly realize that our new normal doesn't feel like normal at all. And therefore, we always long to our original normal. Does anyone feel that way? Like the new normal doesn't seem at all like is normal. You always feel like, I wish we could return to how things were before. And I have that because I lost my country. So from time to time, I go back and think, oh, I wish I was with my friends. I wish that was my normal continued. But life doesn't work like that, does it? It doesn't. So where the Israelites were in exile and they had heard the voice of judgment and anger and exile and death in the first 29 chapters of Jeremiah, the prophet. Just like we are today, there is COVID-19, there is a war in Afghanistan, and we are losing, and there is this that is happening, there is a shooter, and there is this that is happening in this country, in this particular country. There's all kinds of judgments and exile and stuff happening, and for all that time, that's the voice that they were hearing. And now, chapter 30 makes a 180 degree turn with good news, where God answers the sound of distress with his salvation, and he says they were the lame walk, and the blind sees, and the sick is cured, and the sinner will be forgiven. And the refugees who had been longing to go home, as they were overjoyed because the end of exile was in sight. And I will tell you this. It is so hard to be a refugee. You lose everything. Your life, your smile, your integrity, your dignity as a human being. You become nothing. You feel hopeless. And Jeremiah's message came in the midst of this hopelessness to rebuild their hearts and souls and to rekindle and reaffirm God's love for them that they felt they didn't have throughout those 29 chapters. And like they felt lost and they said, "God, do you even care for us? Are you still there for us?" So the prophet Jeremiah saw a way home that everybody thought that was going to be impossible. So he thought, there is our door. We are going home. And the gospel's message also lands us in the middle of this hopeless situation for where Jesus brings healing to the blind man. So I would say this, God never gets tired to hear or to listen to those who cry out to him. So maybe this question is for us today. What is it that you brought to God today? Is it a concern you brought to God? Is it a question you have? Is it a situation you brought to God? Is it a voice of distress? Is it a voice of lament or guilt? God is listening today. So where do I begin? The son of Bartimaeus, that's Bartimaeus, the blind. It is very difficult for any of us to put ourselves in the place of someone else. Well, you woke up this morning, some of you went to the grocery store, you had lunch, and this afternoon maybe you had a nap, and then you came to church this evening. You came to church. You prepared yourself, and you are here. As easy as this sound, it's a monumental task for a blind man. So he cannot do most of the tasks that we see that is very normal. He cannot do that without help. So basically he has no life. He can only listen and taste food. So he can't earn a living. Can we put ourselves in a place of a person like that? So like him, we also listen to the noise of our culture. There is so much that goes on in our culture. So much noise. Some voices are inconsequential, meaning there's no point to it. You are aware of that? There are some things that we shouldn't even give our time to, right? There's some noise like that. And other voices, quite frankly, may annoy us, but we should listen to them. You agree? Some voices, we should be listening to them. And that's some of those are the sound of distress. Jesus was in this crowd, surrounded by all kinds of noises. When I am in Africa, we don't have grocery stores. We have a big market where everybody comes there, and they're saying, "I'll give you this much," and I will negotiate this. If you have like 4,000 people saying things loud, it becomes a lot of noise, a lot of noise. So in our culture also, there is that kind of noise around us. But Jesus was able to listen to that one voice that was crying out to him loud, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, Colliersville has sounds like that as well. Sounds of distress. Not that Saturday test one. You aware of one I'm talking about? There's one that is loud, and then they said it's a test, and not that kind. But there are sounds of pain, sounds of guilt, sounds of loneliness. We may hear perhaps the sounds of people playing football or baseball or children's playground, or someone cries in the doctor's office or at the hospital, and some noise appear to be faint. You don't really hear much, but there is a noise. There is a voice, at least. There is some voice there. Because they are the cries of almost like someone who's at the last breath of his life. So heavy with emotions. Can you help me? I don't even have a voice attached to that cry. But how much that cry is loud to God. How much that is loud to God. And Jesus listened and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And that is our door. How bad do you want Jesus to intervene in your life about that situation you don't talk about? How bad you want it? Speak to Jesus today. What do you want Jesus to do specifically to you today? Ask him today. Could it be that there is that desperate voice of the blind man in each one of us saying, maybe there is something that we need to see that we are not seeing, that God wants us to see here. We are unable to see what pains God, unable to see the path of Jesus to self-surrender and self-offering. You see, there is a bit of a connection between physical blindness and also spiritual blindness. There is, in some way, there is a lot of things that we may not see that perhaps God wants us to open our eyes and see. That is concerns us as well and how we see God, how our souls need divine light to guide us. So just like the Jews, you may be in this place and he may be in this place. All of us, God wants to meet you where you are at and to invite you to that place of the light so that we can see. In his time also, he was told that there will be the blind, the lame, and the women in labor, pregnant women, and they were at a different place as well. When they were told, I am coming and I'm bringing good news. I'm coming to heal you, to cure you, to help with that situation that seems impossible to you so that you could go home. And our home is the salvation of the Lord. There will be healing, peace of mind, and there will be joy and the straight path. You will be healed and forgiven. You will be a child of God. You will be a nobody, just like Father Jeff told us last week. Not like that disciple that was saying, Jesus, I want to be on your left and the other one on the right for the honors of being next to the king. Not that one, but rather the way of the cross, the way of surrender, the way of self-denial, which to us is life and peace. So tonight, bring your concerns to God. God understands it more than you will ever know. Amen.